Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Talk New York sports here. The Fan.
All right, 205. That Draymond Green sound is interesting. I mean, I understand his frustration, but maybe, you know, don't continually hit people and, you know, knock out your own teammates and talk trash about people when they're off to a funeral. You know, that kind of thing. I get his point. He is a great basketball player. But to make it seem like you've done nothing to add to any sort of, you know, feeling that the media portrays you as, you've done your share of adding to it as well. I just wanted to react to it because, and Marco going right to the score was very funny too. 888-808-1019. Let's get to the baseball calls. We'll get to the Mets and we will get to the most embarrassing franchise. And believe it or not, it's not the Colorado Rockies as terrible as they are, or the White Sox, who hopefully are about to get an uptick as the new Pope is a White Sox fan. It hasn't helped that Barack Obama was a White Sox fan, so we got to see if the Pope can help. 888-808-1019. Let's get to Dylan in Queens, though. What's up, Dylan?
Hello?
Hello, Dylan.
How are you?
Good. How are you, buddy?
Love your show.
Thank you very much. What's going on?
I have a question about Juan Soto.
Yes.
Up until what point do you think it's too late to give him Juan Soto? And maybe say, when you look at players like Javi Baez, when they get a big contract, they tend to like slow down. Do you think it's going to happen with Juan Soto?
No, I mean, he's off to a slow start. You could argue that's, I mean, that's the only thing different, right? I guess the team is different. But ultimately, he struggled at the start of the year. And again, when you say struggle, you have to say it very loosely because he's still having, for what most people would consider, a solid, very good year. I mean, he's got an OPS. He's got 7 home runs now. He's got an OPS somewhere around 850 or so. He still gets on base. And over the last 7 games, he's been very, very good. So we'll see if he turns it around. He's just not been as dynamic as people would have expected. When you sign for a contract of $765 million, and last year, especially at the beginning of the season, he came out on fire for the New York Yankees. This time last year, he was hitting 360. Like, he was having an incredible start to his Yankee tenure. But I think you could argue the contract and the idea that he has to, you know, live up to that kind of contract had something to do with his early season struggles. But no, I don't think there's anything that will stop Juan Soto from being a great player. Now, he might not have the same year he had last year. This might be one of the more down years of his Met tenure. I have no idea. We'll see. But it's going to be a very good year because he's a very good player. And I have a sneaking suspicion, unfortunately, that he's getting hot just in time to show up at Yankee Stadium next weekend and have one hell of a series, because that's just the kind of player he is. And he rises to that moment. And you know the fans are going to be all over him. He's going to get booed out of the building. He's going to get booed every single at bat. He's going to get booed every time he runs out into the outfield. And I would not be surprised if Juan Soto has a monster series in the Bronx. So I think the reports of his demise have been far overblown. All right, Dylan.
I agree with you.
Yeah, go ahead.
I agree. Also, I have a question about the Yankees.
Yes, please shoot. Just shout them out when you know them.
Do you think Ben Rice and Trent Grisham are all-star wizards this season?
All-star? Will they be all-stars, or are they worthy of being an all-star right now?
Do you think they're worthy?
Yes, they are. Both of them are worthy of being all-stars right now. Now, they have to do it, you know, I guess, for the rest of the year. Ben Rice doesn't really have a position necessarily, but both of them have been incredible. Trent Grisham, I mean, and it's hard to not think this. Now, he wasn't the same player last year. And Boone is just starting to get this question. I think John Boy asked him, or the media asked him the other day, and I'm surprised it didn't happen earlier. They were rolling out Verdugo forever last year. I mean, just over and then into the postseason. And they never played Trent Grisham. Now, again, when he played last year, he wasn't anything like this. He didn't play nearly this much. And maybe that's the main reason he's playing far better. But last year, he was like an under 200 hitter. He had some pop. Occasionally, he had 9 home runs. He's already got more home runs this year than he had all of last year. But the question is, like, how much better could the Yankees have been if they just played Trent Grisham? If they put Trent Grisham in center and Judge in left, how much better would the New York Yankees have been last year? But you can't go back and change things. But right now, Trent Grisham, and it's part of the reason people get all hung up about Dominguez not playing, and I get it. And Dominguez sparked the rally the other night with that double, even right-handed, which he's been terrible at hitting right-handed. And you want to get these young kids, you want to play Dominguez every single day. I get it. But you're trying to get Bellinger going, who has been good over the last 7 games. You're paying him $20 million. He has an option to opt in and be a part of the Yankees next year as well. Like, Bellinger has got to be a big part of your team. You're hoping to develop Dominguez, and he's got to play, granted. But with the way Grisham's been playing, the fact that the best hitter in the world is in your outfield, and you're trying to get Bellinger going, and he's got to be an everyday player, the young kid is going to be the guy who falls by the wayside on some nights, and especially because he can't hit left-handed pitching. Trent Grisham has changed their plans. He was going to be the everyday left fielder, Dominguez. Grisham has been incredible. And that pinch hit home run the other night, I mean, the Yankees give up the lead. Hamilton, again, who the bullpen was a little bit down. They didn't have a lot of options. They go to Hamilton in the 8th inning. He walks 2 guys. They have to bring in Weaver. And again, another night where Weaver wasn't bad, but he does give up the hit that gives up the run. The Yankees fall 2 runs behind after being no hit for 7 innings by Dylan Cease, and Aaron Boone pulls the right string, pinch hits Grisham, and Grisham, not only does he hit a game-tying 2-run home run, but arguably has the most, first of all, he's so nonchalant, and I love his look. I love the hair. I love his mustache. I love everything about him right now. Trent Grisham is arguably, I mean, outside of Judge, how could he not be one of your favorite Yankees? I love watching him play. He is so nonchalant in center field, it's unbelievable. Although I did think he was one of the reasons, the main reason for that drop pop-up and not Anthony Volpe that everybody was killing Volpe for. He's got to come in and take charge on that ball, but he's so great and easygoing and makes it look so easy out there in center field. And he's been clutch. He's hit home runs to lead off games. Pinch hit. A pinch hit appearance in the 8th inning. It's a 2-run home run to tie the game and then has the most casual flip of the bat. I think it's one of the sexier bat flips we've seen. He flips it, flips it in the air, catches the barrel, and then flings it towards the dugout. And it's so just him and nonchalant. He looks down at the ground immediately. He's kind of got like a Paul O'Neill where he hits the home run and then just looks down and trots around the bases. He doesn't follow it. It is a pleasure to watch him play right now, and he's been unbelievable. So, yes, there's no doubt. And Ben Rice's emergence, too. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, Yankee, I talk to a lot of Yankee fans who are like really annoyed right now and really pissed off with this team, and they don't think it's good enough. I'm going back and forth with a guy on Twitter telling me that the team sucks and it's time to break it down and trade Judge at the deadline. That the farm system is ruined. There's not enough young players, and you know they can get so much for Judge. And I'm just like, there are people out there who think this. Forget the even trading of the Judge part, which is just asinine. They're the New York Yankees. They're the New York Yankees. They don't trade Aaron Judge. You don't trade Mickey Mantle. You don't do it. But the idea, again, and I heard a caller in with Keith as I'm driving in complaining about Brian Cashman and never letting prospects come up here. He's like, they never let prospects play. You know, it's just ridiculous. These guys don't, you know, they don't want to let, they never let the young kids play. I'm like, never let the young kids play? Who's the starting catcher? Who's the starting third baseman? Who's the starting shortstop? Right now, who's the starting second baseman? Who's your starting right fielder? Who's your starting left fielder? Like, the entire team is guys through the farm system. The entire team. And it's like, they never let prospects play. Never let prospects play. Wells, Wells, Volpe, Cabrera, Dominguez, Judge. I mean, that's five. Never mind, right now, Vivas, Ben Rice is six. Like, the entire team is young farms, is the farm system. The entire team right now is young and athletic. And part of my problem is they're not using that enough. They're not stealing enough bases. They're not putting enough pressure on the defense. They need to be doing more of that. Volpe should be stealing more bases. Dominguez should be trying to steal more bases. But, I mean, right now, the offense is the best in the American League by almost any metric you want to grade it on.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, everyone. Summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Max Fried is right there at the top of the list as best pitcher in baseball. Carlos Rodon has been unbelievable. And outside of Devin Williams, the bullpen's been pretty damn good. Like, going into the season, I don't know how much more you could have expected from the New York Yankees. I got to be totally honest with you. I'm just trying to be fair. Like, they're a failings. They're a flawed team. There's no doubt about it. The defense, which started out the first, 3 weeks or so being excellent, has not been as good lately. I think that's fair. They still strike out too much. I don't love them in situational hitting situations. The other day, the inability of Oswaldo Cabrera to get a bunt down, I know he ended up doing it in extra innings the next night, but you got to be able to get a bunt down when you are a light-hitting third baseman who's lucky to still be on the team, still be up here. Like, you got to be able to get a bunt down. So, like, they're not perfect, and the bottom of the rotation stinks. They're waiting for, I don't even know who's going to start on Sunday. I'm guessing Ryan Yarbrough, which isn't a great answer. Cookie Carrasco, who they designated for assignment, did clear through waivers and has accepted his demotion to AAA, so he'll be waiting in the wings to make a spot start, I'm sure. Will Warren has not proven to be a ready Major League Baseball pitcher, although he's got decent stuff. So the bottom of the rotation, waiting on Luis Gil, stinks. Hopefully Clark Schmidt, who's just working his way back, a couple starts. He had a decent start the other night against King. Two runs, six innings. I'll take that every time from Clark, but hopefully that continues. And if Devin Williams gets fixed, they have an incredible bullpen. But, like, yeah, the bottom of the rotation sucks. Right now, the bottom of the order, particularly against left-handed pitching, is atrocious. They are not a great baseball team, but they're getting guys back from injury. They're going to have the deadline to add. And right now, the offense has been pretty damn good. They got about six or seven guys who are above average hitters. Last year, they were two hitters. Now, I don't know what you weigh Juan Soto as opposed to three or four better hitters in the lineup now. I still would take Juan Soto. I've been on the record of that about 1,000 times. But you look at it, last year, the Mets quipped, right? They're gonna see Severino this weekend. Severino, they got two good hitters. Right now, they have seven guys who are above major league average OPS. You got Grisham, Ben Rice, Judge, even Volpe, believe it or not. Volpe is above average right now with OPS. Dominguez is right at league average. And if you count his left-handed hitting, he's way above league average. Jazz was above OPS average. And they're leading the league in runs scored, and they have the best run differential. Like, if you would head into the season after all the injuries, knowing how much they were going to rely on youth, I don't know how you could be that upset with where the Yankees are right now, other than blowing some games late, which sucks. And up until recently, the last two games they were able to do it, but up until recently, they really weren't able to rally offensively. If they fell behind, they were unable to come back. But we've seen that change over the last two nights in a big way against the best bullpen in baseball. I thought this series against the San Diego Padres was a very big series for the Yankees. One, they won the series after blowing the game. Two, they should have swept them. And three, that's a very good lineup at the top, is very particularly good. They've got a good rotation. You saw two of their best pitchers in King and Dylan Cease. Their lineup is good at the top, and their bullpen was the best in baseball. They beat both those pitchers, or at least won the games that both those pitchers pitched in. They got to the best bullpen in baseball, including a 10-run inning. And then right back at it the next night, tied the game after being down two runs and won in extras, which has been a bugaboo for the New York Yankees, not being able to win games in extra innings. And they came through with that. And plus, they shut down that lineup. Rodon and even, Clark Schmidt gave up two runs. Rodon gave up zero. Clark Schmidt gave up two. Max Fried gave up one. They gave up three runs from their starting pitchers against one of the best teams in baseball. Should have won all three games. Got to the best bullpen in baseball two different times. Won a game in extra innings. And got Devin Williams in his biggest performance of the year so far that hopefully will build some confidence. That is the biggest win of the year. That is the biggest series of the year. And hopefully it'll propel the Yankees into a good week out on the West Coast before a Friday night start of the Subway Series against the New York Mets and Juan Soto. So Like, that's just where we are. That was a very big series, and they played pretty damn well in it, quite honestly. Let's get to Tony in Providence. What's up, Tony?
Chris, the show is great.
Thank you.
Yeah, I agree with you about the Yankees. Last year, I had a problem with the lineup. I would have went with Judge bat leading off in the World Series, Soto second. I mean, Soto had the dream year. He had the greatest hitter in baseball hitting behind him going into free agency. What else more can you want than that?
No, absolutely. Now, look, when I agree with what you just said, but that doesn't mean that Juan Soto was hitting tape measure home runs against Justin Verlander in the World Series with Howie Kendrick hitting behind him. So while, yes, he had Judge hitting behind him, he's already mentioned that it's been a different season for him and the way they pitch him because of not having Judge hitting behind him. So that's a tangible, real thing. But let's be honest. Juan Soto's great whether he's with Judge or not, and he's going to be great. So he's gotten off to a little bit of a slow start.
Right. So a great hit is will always hit. Just you have a harder time pitching around him if you got
anyone hitting in front of Aaron Judge, no matter how great or bad you are, anyone hitting in front of Aaron Judge benefits from it. So yeah, Juan Soto no doubt benefited from hitting in front of Aaron Judge.
Right, you're going to get better pitches to Go Buchanan, Go Buchanan, Go Buchanan, Go Buchanan.
There you go, Tony. Thank you. Peter in Lawrence. What's up, Pete?
Well, basically, I agree with everything you're saying. I am satisfied with the way the Yankees have played.
Yeah.
Even though, how long will they go with Will Warren as their fourth starter?
Yeah, I don't know if
Stroman
they don't have an option.
Coming back, or is he done?
Stroman, I believe I heard he's throwing a live batting practice. We'll see. Let's be honest. I mean, how much better was he than Will Warren? I mean, you got to give him – I agree. Once he's healthy, I'd give it a try over Will Warren. But, I mean, right now they're waiting on Luis Gil. That's it. It doesn't matter who it's going to be. There's another kid in the minors. There's Ryan Yarbrough. Like, they don't really have a good answer. The depth was completely taken away with those two injuries and the ineffectiveness of Will Warren and Cookie Carrasco. They have no depth. They have three starting pitchers, and thankfully, I was listening to Keith as I was driving in. Him and Connor were projecting out, and I did the math too. The Yankees on the Subway Series do have it lined up to have their best pitching over the next weekend. It's going to be all three of their best pitchers. It's going to be Rodon, Clark. It's going to be the same thing we saw against the Padres. Rodon, Clark Schmidt, and then Max Fried against the Mets Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So that should make for it. But yeah, outside of those three, who the two of them have been utterly brilliant, and hopefully Clark Schmidt can start pitching on a regular basis and feel, you know, confident with him. But no doubt, the weakness of this team is the 4 and 5 starters. Right now, they are not even major league caliber.
And tell me, did they give up too soon on Adam Ottavino?
No, not really on Adam Ottavino. I mean, they have enough bullpen arms. I'm not worried about that. I mean, he was just a fill-in spot. He's doing SNY now. So the Mets are done with him. The Red Sox are done with him. The Yankees are done with him. Everyone else is done with him. So, I don't think. Could he have still been effective on some level? I guess. I don't know. But no, he's not someone I'm concerned with, nor did the Yankees really need him. The bullpen's loaded, and they got guys coming back. Right, Cousins was just throwing against Giancarlo Stanton, who we haven't even talked about, and there is definitely a conversation. Maybe we'll have it later tonight at 888-808-1019 because someone mentioned Ben Rice. There's going to be a conversation about how the Yankees handle Giancarlo Stanton coming back, because there's reports yesterday that it is not out of the question and maybe even likely that he is going to join the team as soon as he is available and off the 60-day IL, which is at the end of this month. So, I mean, we could be 3 weeks away from Giancarlo Stanton being added to this lineup, and how do they handle Ben Rice? They've already, you know, you're already not happy with how much Dominguez has hit the bench. I mean, they're going to have some juggling to do. Thankfully, they've made it hard for the Yankees on how to institute Stanton back into the lineup. But we'll get to that maybe a little bit later. But, yeah, Cousins is going to start a rehab assignment. I believe Efros has started a rehab assignment, and so has Jonathan Loaisiga. And apparently, Boone, and take this for what it's worth, I've heard Boone several times on his interviews with John Boy and to the media in pregames and postgames, that Jonathan Loaisiga looks really good. And when healthy, which has been, and again, that's the other thing with Devin Williams. You can give me all these guys. Oh, Efros is coming back. Yeah, Efros is coming back. He was traded to the Yankees 2 years ago. He hasn't been healthy in 2 years. I'm going to count on Efros coming back. Jonathan Loaisiga is coming back. Yeah, okay. Jonathan Loaisiga can't stay healthy either. They need Devin Williams, but they do have guys coming back. And if those guys can be here and stay healthy, and you can add Cousins in that slider from the right-handed side, you have Efros coming back, you have Jonathan Loaisiga coming back, Fernando Cruz is striking out more people out of the bullpen than anybody in baseball. Weaver has only given up one run. And Leiter has been the best version we've seen of him. And Ian Hamilton, off a bad performance the other night, still has an ERA under 2. Like, the bullpen has a chance to be dynamic. Sammy in Brooklyn. What's up, Sammy?
Hey, how you doing, Chris?
Good. How are you, buddy?
So my question was going to be about Ben Rice and Stanton, but you kind of already covered that.
Well,
so
I didn't really talk about it. You can ask if you'd still like, but if you have another pivot point, I will get to that if you want to listen throughout the morning.
I have another hypothetical for you.
Sure.
Would you try moving Ben Rice to the outfield maybe, or finding a trade for him for like a third baseman or a fifth starter?
I would not trade Ben Rice. I like Ben Rice too much. And just think about this. We just saw, right? Vladimir Guerrero Jr. get the big contract. That's the first time a first baseman has gotten the big contract. You're going to have him. You're going to have, obviously, I think, Pete Alonso on the market. Now, he might want to go back to the Mets. I've had this discussion. I don't want to make a thing of it. I think it's likely he's not going to be with the Mets, but he's going to be on the free market. They have the big-time free agent that's going to be coming out of Japan who plays first base. And now the numbers for first baseman have gone up exponentially since that contract to Vladimir Guerrero Jr. If Ben Rice can play first base and hit like this, he saves you hundreds of millions of dollars. And I'm not trying to say the Yankees should be cheap and I'm in the business of saving the Yankees money. I'm in the business of putting the best team on the field. And if I can save the Yankees $100 million at first base by getting a player as good as Ben Rice has been, now I got to see it. I'm not saying I'm ready to just give him the first base job. It's been a month. But I want to see if he can be the first baseman of the next couple of years and save the Yankees money so they can go target other places with their money. So they can go buy a third baseman in the offseason. They can go buy maybe another starting pitcher because of the uncertainty of Gerrit Cole now. Maybe they can go do something else with that money as opposed to having it earmarked for a first baseman, which I thought it was. And maybe you bring back Goldschmidt on another one-year deal and Ben Rice, and now you have a platoon at first base next year, or you know, whatever. No, I don't want to trade Ben Rice because right now he could theoretically save the Yankees hundreds of millions of dollars at the first base position. If that's my answer at first base, if Ben Rice is this, now I have to see it the whole year, but the numbers you are getting from Ben Rice are good enough where he's the first baseman next year. Now, what they do with him the next couple months, I will see. Because when you got to put him in the lineup, he's got to be in the lineup almost every day. So it's going to be very fascinating where they juggle him, what they do. Boone came out and said he doesn't expect him to give him a third baseman's glove. So I don't know. Two games at DH, two games, like Ascara might go. He might be forced to be the backup catcher on this team. I don't know. Now, I don't know how good he is defensively as a catcher. It scares me, but that might have to be it. Or you carry three catchers and really have Ascara just as a platoon backup catcher role is kind of unique. But like, I'm just trying to think, like, how do you get Ben Rice into the lineup every day? A day at catcher, 2 days at DH, 2 days at first base, but Goldschmidt's hitting 360. Like, I don't know what you do. And Stanton's still much of a threat. Now, maybe the first week or two or even month, you can kind of ease Stan into things, but he's got to play to get a swing. So it is going to be a juggling act. And the fact that Ben Rice can catch does help that area, because it's very easy to just say, all right, you catch 2 days. But can you make him just the only backup catcher? Can he be your backup catcher? I don't know. I don't know how good he is defensively as catcher. I know he's still working on it. Apparently every day he's working on the catching stuff. He still works out with, you know, Wells and Ascara every day and goes over it with the catching coach every day, trying to keep that skill going. But if you don't do it in game action, for how long? And again, I don't know how good he is defensively just to begin with. But they're going to have to figure out a way to get him. They're going to have to give him another glove. They're going to have to figure out something. I don't know about outfield, third base, something. Because he has to be in the lineup. Has to be. And I don't want to trade him because there's immense value in him. Immense value, especially at first base now with the money that just... Because I think, one, Pete Alonso got 30. And then Vladimir Guerrero got the huge contract. And that was the first time a first baseman got the huge contract. Now there's a precedent. And again, if this is the year that Pete Alonso has, the market for first baseman might get out of hand. It'd be nice to have an in-house answer at that position. Kyle in Lindenhurst. What's up, Kyle?
Hey, the last person who just said that trade... Rice is insane. Why don't we just trade Dominguez while we're at it?
Yeah, I know. I don't want to trade Ben Rice.
Yeah. There's so many different things I wanted to talk about, but I'll just stick to Boone and Devin Williams. Mm-hmm. I think we need to start a hashtag shave or save for Devin Williams, even though he shouldn't be put in high leverage save situations anymore. In my opinion, he should be sixth or seventh inning at most. And eighth and ninth has got to be Cruz or Leiter, and then Dreamweaver.
I agree with you that Weaver is the closer, and
okay.
I'm not even thinking about. I don't know how the Yankees feel about it. I'm not even thinking about putting him back in the closer role, unless
Williams. No, no.
Unless Weaver stumbles, but I disagree.
I don't even think you do that in that situation. You put Cruz there. Cruz is electric. I love Cruz.
Yeah, but Cruz pitched to like a 4.5 ERA last year. Now I agree with you. I know that, but who's been the better reliever? Like I can't just go over the last 3 weeks or month and tell you that I know Cruz is far better than Devin Williams, who's pitched to a 1.8 ERA his entire career. Like
I'm just saying.
So like here, but I just want to specify what I'm saying. Like over the next couple of outings, sure, I'm with you on kind of what you're saying. Like he got thrusted into the extra inning role. He had to. They had no choice. But my goal. Is to have my two best relievers and my two most important relievers and the two guys in the biggest spots are Weaver and Williams.
Okay. So I feel like Williams, with the environment that he just came from in Milwaukee, is going to settle in and do better for a little while. But once it starts to get really hot, I think it's going to go right back to what he's doing right now.
Why?
Maybe not as high of an ERA, but I just don't think it's going to work.
Why? Why are we so sure after a month?
I'm not sure.
This guy can't work.
I just think that that's likely to happen. I hope that's not what happens, but I just feel like that's what's going to end up happening.
I think Yankee fans are just like, you know, still dealing with other players who have dealt with that. Like, he's pitched to such a bad ERA.
He's been incredible. I love the guy. Don't get me wrong. I love him as a closer and a relief pitcher. He's an incredible pitcher, in my opinion. But I feel like the money that he got would have been better spent at starting pitching.
Well, yeah, but for who? Like, he's not making that much money. Like,
so for the past few years, I feel like there's been plenty of pitchers they should have tried to target in trades and free agents, and they just haven't done that. And if we had, we'd be in a much better position now with the injuries that have came across this season than we are at the moment.
They have three enormous contracts at the starting rotation.
Yes. Yes.
They gave Cole the biggest contract in the history of the game as a starting pitcher.
Yep. And free,
they gave Rodon big money, and now they've given I mean, that was supposed to be the strength of the team, was the starting rotation. Cole and the rookie of the year, Luis Hill, just got hurt.
Yeah, and it absolutely can be. We need Hill back, and maybe Cole will come back eventually and be healthy
next
again.
Year.
Right, and we get a little bit more out of him. But at the same time, my last point, I'll touch on Aaron Boone a little bit. Last year when he removed Holmes from the closer role and wasn't going to put him in the way he said he wasn't going to put him in, he went right back to putting him back in the World Series. And we should have seen Cousins at one point. Like, I feel like we need to stick to a plan like that when our pitchers stumble and are very obviously doing very bad, especially in the World Series and the playoffs, and stick to the plan.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what you're talking about. This one, I don't even understand what you're saying, because Clay Holmes, right, was taken out of the closer role. They continued to pitch him in significant moments. Like, they didn't close with him. But he actually lost them two games in the seventh and eighth inning with a lead after he was taken out of the closer role. They continued to put him in significant moments. They didn't banish him or relegate him to nothing. He still lost two games, and had one of them was a blown save after he was closer, or after they removed him from closer. And they stuck with him. And then in the postseason, he gave them nine consecutive scoreless innings and was arguably the best reliever on the team through the American League playoffs. Like, I don't know what you're talking about. He wasn't bad in the world. When they should have used Cousins, Clay Holmes was dominant. Clay Holmes had, remember, do you don't remember the conversation about Clay Holmes had a zero ERA heading into the postseason, and every inning it kept on getting another inning. And he had like nine, he started the postseason with nine consecutive scoreless innings. The way Aaron Boone handled Clay Holmes was brilliant. I've been screaming this for a while. They didn't give up on Clay Holmes. Everybody was screaming, get him out of the mix. I don't want him on the postseason roster. Stop throwing him in these situations. They were screaming. He was still blowing games after removed from the closer role, and everybody was screaming, I don't want to see him ever again. You can't pitch him. It's a waste of a roster spot. Don't put him on a playoff roster. And then he came out and was utterly brilliant until that one game against Cleveland, and he blew it. Other than that, the guy pitched great in the postseason. Great. So that's where I don't understand what you're talking about. They stuck with, that's the example I'm using, the Clay Holmes example for Devin Williams on how to turn a pitcher around and have him be useful. Clay Holmes was great in the postseason. He didn't pitch in the ninth inning. He wasn't the closer, but he was the first guy out of the bullpen with runners on like three or four games of the first six. He got some of the biggest outs of the Kansas City series and Cleveland series. He was great. And Devin Williams, there is, again, I understand there's the Sonny Grays of the world and the pitchers who didn't make it. And I know the last time we saw him in a big spot, he gave up a big home run to Pete Alonso. Okay, in 1997, the first year as closer, when we could have easily all said the same thing. Oh, you know, Mariano, yeah, he was great last year, and, you know, behind Wetland. That, sure, great. And, you know, he was great then. But he gave up, what happened against the Indians in the ALDS? He gives up the big home run to Alomar. I don't know about that Mariano Rivera guy. And I'm not comparing, I'm not trying to say he's Mariano Rivera, but I'm saying, like, Mariano Rivera, I don't know how many years Mariano Rivera had an ERA of 1.8 during the regular season. And just giving up one home run or blowing one save doesn't mean that you're washed or someone broke you. Mariano Rivera wasn't broken by Sandy Alomar. He wasn't broken by Luis Gonzalez. He wasn't broken by Bill Miller and the stolen base in 2004. Like, he has no fastball command right now. That doesn't mean he's never going to be able to pitch in New York. And if you look at his pitching metrics, his changeup is still ranked right now, today. His airbender is still one of the best pitches in baseball. It's got the most miss. It's got the most dip. It's got the most movement. And now it's got some swing and miss to it. Like, The changeup is still effective. He's missed with his fastball and had some bad luck. It's not like he's been hit around the place. His last blown save was walks. Walks and a broken bat single. Maybe he is the guy a lot of you think he is. Maybe he'll never work here. Maybe it's a disaster waiting to happen. We don't know that on May 9th. That's all. That's all I'm saying. And you got to still pitch him in meaningful situations, because him screaming off the mound the other night, him going nuts off the mound the other night, is exactly what he needs. He needs that moment of, okay, I'm good. I just did it in a pressure situation. I've done here at Yankee Stadium with the fan base waiting for me to fail. I came into a game and the fan base groaned when I took the mound in the 10th, and then I did it, and I struck out Fernando Tatis, Manny Machado, and Xander Bogaerts to give the Yankees a win. That's what he needs.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
If you're a parent or share a fridge with someone, Instacart is about to make grocery shopping so much easier. Because with family carts, you can share a cart with your partner and each add the items you want. Since between the two of you, odds are you'll both remember everything you need. And this way, you'll never have to eat milkless cereal again. So minimize the stress of the weekly shop with Family Carts. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply. For three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream.
Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restrictions applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Get connected with WFAN to talk about your favorite teams. The Fan, always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right. We're a little more than halfway through our five-hour midnight ride. It goes so fast, especially on Fridays, especially in May, especially with the Knicks coming up tomorrow, 3:30, for a huge game, the biggest game the Knicks have played in 26 years. Or since the other day. But you know what I mean. Biggest game at Madison Square Garden in 26 years. And you could tell the weather's getting nicer. I was driving through the city, obviously, on my way in. The streets were packed. The smell of weed was in the air. And man, oh man, it seemed like a nice Thursday night out in New York City. So we have made it. Before you know it, it'll be summer.
Before you know it, it'll be the 4th of July. Everybody, you know, give the kids the snaps and the sparklers. You know, your crazy uncle's holding the Roman candles the wrong way, and, you know, that'll happen. Then we'll get to August, go on vacation, go to Italy, get some good pasta.
I told you, because I went to Rome once. I went to Oktoberfest with my buddy. I still haven't told the story about how I saved a woman's life in Germany. I don't know when I'm saving it for, but I am. One of these days, I'll tell you about how I saved a woman's life in Germany, and that is the honest to God truth. I'm a hero. Who knows how many generations? It was like 13, 14 years ago. Who knows how many people are walking the planet right now because of my actions that fateful day in Nuremberg, Germany. But I had the weirdest lasagna I've ever had in my life. Like, I went with buddies. We didn't plan a damn thing. We didn't, like, I'm sure this place, the time, my wife, we're going with my wife, there's going to be reservations. There's going to be exactly where we're going, when we're going. Like, but I just went with buddies. So we were just walking around Rome and stopped into a, you know, a corner restaurant or whatever. And I ordered the lasagna. And I've told this story before, but it was like the straight layer, the layers of pasta were just like on top of each other. Maybe there was some sauce in between them. Maybe there was some, like, a little bit of cheese. But it pretty much just felt like layer, 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 layer of pasta. And then on top was like the sauce and the meat and the cheese. It wasn't layered like American lasagna or what I'm used to. Now, I shouldn't even say American lasagna because I've had my father-in-law's lasagna, my wife's grandmother's lasagna, you know, both born in Italy, and their lasagna looked like, and, you know, it's phenomenal and delicious. And he had short rib lasagna when he owned the restaurant, which was, love that. I still miss that short rib lasagna. But it was normal lasagna with the layers and everything in between. But I ordered it in Rome, and they just, like, I don't know what happened, but they layered the pasta and then just threw everything on top. I've never seen that before. Or since. But we'll see. Now I'm just rambling, but that is all true. Everything I said, from the lasagna to the saving of the woman's life, all accurate. We went to Oktoberfest about 13 years ago. Great trip. And then we took a cruise from, you know, I went to Rome, a couple spots in France, Barcelona. Had a beautiful day in Barcelona. And now I drive to Disney. That's it. That's all I do. I drive to Florida. I'm getting lucky that they want to take us to Italy, but drive to Florida. 888-808-1019. Let's get to the calls. We'll still get to the Mets. I'll tell you about how, since we're talking all different stuff, how I had to get my son off the bus today. He would not wake up. It was scary for half a second. My son had a field trip today. My wife, you know, plans and everything. So he went on the field trip, and he was so tired and exhausted. They went to a farm, and, like, you know, they'll send pictures and put them on the website that we all connect with. So, like, we saw the pictures. He was red in the face. He was sweating. He was filthy. He was rolling down hills. He was, you know, driving carts around the thing. And, like, so he must have been exhausted. I get them off the bus at like 4 o'clock. My oldest son comes walking off, and he's like, I hear him yelling because I sit right out front on my porch. It drives right by my house and stops like right on the corner. So I can, like, sit on my porch, see the bus drive by, and then I get up and walk towards the bus stop. And as I'm walking to the bus stop, I hear my oldest like, Andrew, Andrew, get up, Andrew. He was asleep on the bus, and they could not wake him up. I had to get on the bus and, like, try and wake him up. And I had to pick him up. He was just flat out asleep on the bus and would not wake up. Like, if he was in his bed, he was like, nah. I had to pick him up, put him on my shoulder, and carry him off the bus. He was out. That it was like the bus driver didn't know what to do. She's like, he won't wake up. I'm like, what do you mean he won't wake up? Like, for half a second, I'm like, is he okay? And my son's screaming, Andrew. I'm like, I get down to the bus. I'm like, what's wrong? He won't wake up. And I'm like, what was that? He's like fully asleep, backpack on the floor, water bottle rolling up and down in between the seats on the floor. I'm just like, oh my goodness. Kids. He did not want to. He was so mad too. Then he had to walk and he's stomping up the stairs. Buddy, you got to take a shower. You're filthy. Nah, I'm tired. That's the life. The life I live. I drop them off on the bus. I go to sleep. I wake up and get them off the bus. That's my life. I sleep while they're at school. I go to bed right after I drop them off. I wake up just in time to pick them up. That's it. Dad and radio host. Chris is gone. There is C-Mac or Big Mac, whichever one you prefer. And then there is Dad. There is no Chris. There is no fun-loving... you know, that's it. I am Dad and I am C-Mac. Otherwise, I'm sleeping. 888-808-1019. Steve in Maryland. What's up, Steve?
Hey, Chris. How you doing?
Good, buddy. How are you?
Doing well. You know, first off, just want to say it's an honor speaking to a lifesaver like yourself.
Thank you very much. It's not often you speak to a true hero. So you should, I understand cherishing it. I do.
Absolutely. So, anyway, so before the break, you were, talking about some closers, Mariano Rivera, some all-time greats. So I was thinking, I was just wondering if we could talk about probably the best closer in New York right now, yep. Jalen Brunson.
No doubt.
And the Knicks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I just want to see, do you think the Knicks can actually, close out this series against the Celtics?
Absolutely.
Do you think they'll actually be able to pull it off?
Do I think they can? Do I think they will? Those are two different things. I certainly think they can. That's without question. I that was pretty much my open, both yesterday and kind of today. I'll rehash it at 4 o'clock, or you can go back and listen on the Odyssey app and go back to midnight. But absolutely, they have shown me every question mark I had about this team. They answered. They're tough. They can get shots when they need it. Brunson's an absolute beast, which I guess wasn't a question mark. We knew that. And a closer. I think Karl Anthony Towns, despite not playing all that well at times, I don't get the sense of soft or disappearing. There was that one game against the Pistons, it felt like that. But in this series, he's been ineffective around the rim finishing. But he has taken on the challenge, and he had 17 rebounds and kept them afloat in the first half in game number two. So, I feel better about Karl Anthony Towns. He hasn't been a superstar. He hasn't been tremendous, but I don't feel like we're going to see him hiding in the corner. That's been answered. OG Anunoby and his ability to get shots and baskets and still be that offensive presence he was when Brunson wasn't around has been answered. Hart, if they need Hart to score, if they need Hart to rebound, if they need Hart to facilitate, if they need Hart to get steals and defend, whatever they need on that particular night, Hart gives them. And then obviously what we saw from Bridges, I just feel, and the coach has answered a lot of my questions about his ability to make adjustments. So I feel really good about this Knicks team in this series. And I think they absolutely can close it out. And I don't even think this is a must win. I think this is a Celtic must win for game number three. There's been a lot of talk about that, and Shaq and Barkley have gotten a lot of pub that's kind of gone viral, the clip of them talking about how it's also a must-win for the Knicks. I don't think it's a must-win for the Knicks. I'd like to win it. Of course, does the dynamic shift? Does the momentum shift if they lose it? Of course. But I trust them to be able to handle the changing momentum. If they lose game three, I fully expect a great effort and a win on game four. I just think that's... They've answered that question for me. So can they close it out? Yes. Will they? I believe they will, but this series isn't over by a mile. And the Boston Celtics are defending champions, and despite how poorly they've played and despite how much they folded at the end of these games, I can't just assume that's going to stay. We'll see. If it is, great. And they'll have to answer that question, but I fully expect a really strong effort. I think Saturday is going to be a great game.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
On my podcast, Aspire With Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire With Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.